Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on this Thursday, October 26th, 2023. Glad to have you along on a very busy news day, very somber news day. The first hour we covered, and there apparently is no new news, nothing new to report in the last hour or so in this mass shooting in Maine. Last report, 13 people are dead, 18 others are injured. The death count may increase. Over 560 mass shootings in the U.S. this year and counting, unfortunately. The gunman, by the way, is still at large, still trying to find this guy. Been spending the rest of the hour, a lot to get to this hour. We're going to get it all in for you. Going to finish up on this discussion of Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, who this guy really is, and the polarization in this country. Also want to touch on new news from the University of Wisconsin system, President Jay Rothman. More jobs being lost, but this time at UW-Platteville. 1 in 8 jobs at UW-Platteville gone. In a new announcement today, we'll talk about that. And then I'm going to try to sneak in an episode or a segment of What's Worse. And at 1:30, we have comedian Eli Uden talking about crowd work in the stand-up realm. And is it causing a problem with comedians? So lighten things up in the last half hour. We're going to get right to it. Again, Mike Johnson, this guy, Christian nationalist. And again, don't get me wrong here. I'll be very clear about this. As a person of faith myself, what our institutions of religion do across the state are fantastic, in my opinion. Be it Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Islamic. These are houses of worship that look for peace, most of them. I'm talking about Christo-fascist nationalists who want to impose right-wing, Old Testament type of extremism and make it into law in the United States of America. This new speaker does not believe in abortion in any circumstance. He is an absolutist. He doesn't think women should ever have an opportunity to have an abortion, even if endangerment of the mother's life or rape and incest. He believes that it should be against the law for two consenting people to be in the same-sex relationship, that any sex between anything other than a man and a woman should be outlawed. Outlawed. He believes that being gay is curable through prayer. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicaid, believes that entitlements should be cut down, at least pared down, not maybe not eliminated, but way cut back. Why does he feel that way? Because if women had fewer abortions, we would have more workers paying into the system. We just played you the cut. That's his words, not mine. And of course, he led the election denying. He voted against ratifying, certifying the 2020 election, and he led a legal challenge to try to take away votes, the votes in places like Wisconsin, trying to take your vote away. It is hard to imagine anyone worse and more dangerous for America being in the speaker's chair right now, two heartbeats away from the presidency of the United States. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Oh, by the way, every Republican congressperson in Wisconsin voted for this guy. Okay, except Derek Van Orten, who is still taking a powder AWOL over in Israel on a self-proclaimed mission. So, yeah, people over in the 3rd District, you didn't get a vote yesterday. All the rest of the Republicans voted for Mike Johnson. And by the way, Van Orden tweeted his support for Mike Johnson. So in 2024, when Republicans try to tell you they're moderate, that they're inclusive, that they can talk to people of Gen Z, give them these examples and ask how. How? This is the most extremist type of person you could possibly have in the chair of the House Speaker. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Gene in Eau Claire, thanks for holding. What say you?
Thank you so much for the great show. It is outstanding. Thank you for bringing the facts to the people of Wisconsin. You know, the Republicans and their entitlement issues and putting their nose in who people love and want companionship with is sick. And people pay in, and it's not entitlement. They paid in every year, and people who are self-employed paid double into their Medicare, and it's nuts. And with your Medicare and Social Security, they take from your Social Security check to pay for Medicare insurance while you're receiving Social Security. So this isn't no freebie, folks. You've paid into this, and you've got to fight for your parents and your grandparents and yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, you know what, Todd? I've never thought I would see this in my life. Mm-hmm. It is so sick. And I cannot believe the people in the state of Wisconsin, I hope they're listening and taking notes and paying attention, because the guys that are running, Republicans running our state, they're bad news. They took what happened here and took it to our country, and we need to stop them. So thank you so much, and you have a great day, and
thanks,
keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks a lot, Gene. Really appreciate it. One quick note, what Gene said, you know, took it from Wisconsin, took it nationally. As we said before, this isn't the first time we've heard this kind of hate speech out of Republicans. Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish once called, said of marriage equality, said that people like me that happen, you know, people who happen to be gay, if you want to marry someone, you know, of your same sex, what's next? People want to marry their clocks and tables? She said that. Direct quote. That's why I like to call her Clocks and Tables Clayfish. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. By the way, Robin Voss tweeted out a disgusting thing yesterday. It was a person who was transitioning, and he took that video and said, this is where we should, you know, make the cuts. Make sure people like this can't be who they are. And I tweeted back at him and also Todd Novak, Republican of Dodgeville, who is the only openly gay member of the Wisconsin Republican Assembly, who I know. I said, Todd, do you support this kind of hateful attack? This ongoing message of just attacking people who are different from us, who are just trying to quietly live their lives? Do you support this? We follow each other on Twitter. So far, no response from Representative Novak. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Susan in McFarland, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, Todd, I really appreciate this conversation today on all the subjects that you've hit on. They're very important. I think it's time for people, especially women, to understand that this is going back, taking the clock back to the day when women don't have rights. And if you hearken to Utah, family women in Utah who are Mormon end up having lots and lots of children. They're not always healthy. They're not in the workforce. And I think the biggest thing is takeaway from me is that they actually want to limit the number of women, females who are in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So then they can say, well, now we can take away Social Security because guess what? We don't have enough people working to pay in. And, you know, I just feel like it's a travesty to every female out there, and they should never vote for another Republican unless they change, harken back to the days where people are reasonable about things.
Totally
agree.
And
we have lost ability to reason. And if I might say one thing, can I say one thing about the gun issue? Do you mind?
No.
Okay. Our family was recently a product of gun violence where we lost my nephew. But I feel that in Wisconsin, it's illegal to open carry guns. And my feeling is if you own a gun, you should open carry it, because then people around you know how safe they are. So, for example, if you bump into somebody in the grocery store and they get irritated by you, and people do take out their frustration on you violently sometimes, I think people should have to carry the gun openly so everybody knows who's carrying, because I think conceal and carry is just far too dangerous for everyone. Besides the other things that you harken to, I really feel concealing carry would be good. Not good in Wisconsin. Thank
Susan,
you.
My condolences to you and your family, Susan. Can't imagine that type of loss. So my condolences to you, and we appreciate you sharing your personal story. That's what the privilege of having this microphone every day is, to allow us to talk and to listen to one another. Hopefully that is a way that we can learn. 844-967-2789. Let's keep it here in Madison. Kurt in Madison, thanks for holding. Kurt, what say you?
So what is the difference between Johnson and the Taliban? Nothing. This individual, and you know what, we got to be honest here. Did the Democrats really think this through when those crossed over with Gates to remove McCarthy? Did we really think through what the possible scenarios could have occurred that we'd get someone just like this?
I'm not Hakeem Jeffries. I'm not their mind. I'm not their caucus. I do feel that it was the Republicans are the majority party. It's up to them to elect a speaker. I don't think it's the responsibility of the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats offered, by the way, over the weekend, the Democrats offered, according to Politico, to help Tom Emmer, a reasonable person, become speaker, and he rejected that.
Well, all I can say is I hope the Z's and X's are paying very, very close attention to what's going on, because their lives hang in the balance.
Yeah, certainly
and
do.
And I just really hope they do something big.
Kurt, really appreciate the call. Certainly a lot of political implications. Who is next, Mr. Dummer? Is up there. Dick and Madison, you are next, my friend. About a minute left. Dick, it's all yours. Go ahead.
I know this is going to sound shallow, but, you know, images are everything in politics. And earlier this summer, when Biden did the little fist bump with the king from Saudi, yesterday, when I saw King Jeffries walk over and wrap his arms around him and hug him, and with a big smile on his face, I wanted to throw up. Mm. A good gentlemanly handshake would have been fine. That made my skin crawl. No, this is not a guy you embrace. Right. You shake hands with him, and then you move on. It made me sick.
Yeah, I mean, Dick, I hear you. I was never an elected official. I worked in Congress. I think you hope, you try to bring decorum and diplomacy, but sometimes it's pretty tough, Dick. I agree. This is a tough one. Back and more on the other side. We see you on the lines. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls after this. This is the Tom Emmer Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever that may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, October 26th. Mr. Sommers on the board, taking your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Talking about new speaker Mike Johnson. Guy is a piece of work, but he's smooth. Very smooth. Let's go to the phone lines. What say you? Brian McGuanago, thanks for holding, Brian. Appreciate it. What say you?
I think the evangelical folks really only want one thing, and that is control. I believe a lot of them, what they speak is as far as their beliefs and their morals, they're all kind of it feels like a show. And all they really want is control. And they want to control, they want everyone to either be, I mean, their belief system, it's either you're a part of our faith and a part of our congregation, or you are our enemy. You are our sworn enemy. You're against me, and therefore you must be destroyed.
But don't forget, they still love us.
That's what they believe.
Right? Don't forget, they still love us. They just don't want us around. You know?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Brian. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Brian McGuanago. Brian's absolutely right. I mean, Mr. Zomers, you're probably too young to remember. Some other people will be too young to remember as well. There was a time in this country, to Brian's point, we had a big, it was called televangelism, where these preachers got on TV because, you know, there wasn't all the choices of today.
I know televangelism.
Right. And you had like Jimmy Swaggart, who would get thousands of people at these crusades. And he'd have a TV show every Sunday, and he had radio shows, and he had albums you could buy and all the stuff. And you can send in a donation, $25.
Send some seed money.
Right, you get $25, you get a Dove prayer pin, and then he'll pray for you if you send in $25. These televangelists, and they claim to be great, great Christians and great. And then Jimmy Swagger had to stand before his convert. It was a famous, you could probably dial up on the internet, Jimmy Swagger with his hands up, tears streaming down his face, because he was accused of having an affair with this young girl. And he said, I lied. So, it doesn't matter whether it's Jimmy Swagger, whether it's Pat Robertson, the 700 Club people, whether it is, Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker, all these people, they ended up being shams, a fraud.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
There it is. Yeah, he had to stand before that, and it was a big, but people would still send him money. And that is exactly what we're seeing the rise of, only this time it's not just for profit. This time is to put other people down legally, to legally ban people from being who they are, from legally banning women from having any sort of abortion whatsoever. As one caller said, to dial back women's rights, to be nothing more than subservient to men, because in Old Testament Christianity, that's what women are supposed to do. That's what this guy, Mike Johnson, is about. So when you see Republicans knocking on your door next summer, wanting you to vote Republican, just remember who they really are. And that's coming from someone who spent 30 years in the party, someone who has taken responsibility in part to perpetuating this. Stuart Stevens said it in his book, National Republican Operative, worked for Bush, other people. In his book called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. Says, I'm guilty. It started with me. I'm partially at fault. I have to include myself in that. I left the party in 2011. I don't belong to any party now. As a 30-year former Republican, I will tell you, with the election of Mike Johnson, the Republican Party is dead. There isn't a Republican Party. There is only the neo-Christian fascist Trumpism party. Because Trump is the one who sanctified Mike Johnson. And Donald Trump has an inside track now on the presidency of the United States. Because if it gets thrown into the House and Mike Johnson's the speaker, it doesn't matter what the actual vote will be. Mike Johnson will just hand it to Donald Trump. That's why we cannot vote third party. We cannot vote no labels. We cannot stay home and say, oh, Joe Biden just doesn't really excite me enough. There is only one vote. If you have any sense of wanting democracy to survive in this country, if you have any sense of individual freedom to survive, if you have any sense for women to actually be empowered to be legal equals in this country, if you have any sense of wanting people to live the lives who they truly are in freedom, there's only one vote in 2024, and that is for Joe Biden. I'm not saying the Democrats have all the answers. I'm not. But with the election of Mike Johnson to the Speaker's chair yesterday, there's only one person to vote for. If you thought it was scary before yesterday, well, it got really scary with Mike Johnson in the Speaker's chair. I'm going to take a break, but before we do, I want to touch very quickly on this because it's an important story. We'll get to it more tomorrow. But the UW system announced that dozens of employees at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville will be laid off and more positions will go unfulfilled as the university continues to deal with financial pressures, according to an email sent to employees yesterday. In the email, a copy of which was obtained by News 3 here in Madison, Chancellor Tammy Ivanovich said a total of 111 positions, 111 are being cut. That's a 12.2% cut of the UW-Platteville's workforce That is 1 in 8. 1 in 8 people employed right now at UW Platteville gone. 60 facing layoffs will be notified in person in the next 2 days. Ivetovich says that Platteville has a quote-unquote structural deficit that needs to be addressed. Well, I can think of one position would save a lot of money. Get rid of that. After she closed down UW Richland already. I gotta believe that Baraboo is next. I don't see how they survive. Of course, Jay Rothman has already put Richland in mothballs, closed that down. Same thing for UW Washington. Same thing for Fox Valley. Or pardon me, Fond du Lac, an offshoot of Oshkosh. Last week, cut 1 in 6 positions at Oshkosh. Now 1 in 8 in Platteville. And again, I ask, where are those folks on the Democratic side? Where is our education governor, Tony Evers, on this? Where are the border regents? Where is the president of the border regents? Why isn't Jay Rothman going out announcing these closures himself and bringing along people to help economic development? Where is Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee? Travis Tranel, who represents Platteville? How about Todd Novak, Tony Kurtz? Then they have the audacity to come around and say, well, we brought you $2 million to help. When the economic impact for Richland Center on a two-year school, $7 million plus, is what it brought into that community. And Republicans say, well, here's $2 million to put a Band-Aid on it. Good luck.
As Taylor Swift says, Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.
Nicely done, Mr. Sommers. Back after this, comedian Eli Yudin and the crowd work epidemic in stand-up. Don't go away. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever that may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, October 26th. Mr. Zommers on the board. Appreciate y'all being with us on a Thursday. Going to turn the page a little bit after some heavier news of the day and literally go to comedy. Our next guest here is not only a comedian and also is a writer at Cracked.com. He is a podcaster as well. The podcast is called What a Time to Be Alive. Comedian Eli Yudin, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. How are you? Glad to lighten the mood if possible.
Exactly. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm a big believer in staying informed, but I think all of us, as my high school or teacher used to say, you have to pause, reflect, and just do something that's not so newsy. So at least not in the heavy sense.
Yeah, well, you can't just, you know, endlessly climb deeper and deeper into the abyss, too. Right. You have to be able to see everything that's going on.
Yeah, 100%. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? And how did you get into the comedy scene?
So my name's Eli Yudin. I grew up in beautiful Washington, D.C., and then got into comedy sort of in college a little bit, which is, you know, I don't want to say I was as fully into it. And then moved to New York pretty much immediately after college to do comedy because that was where you go.
Sure.
As far as I was told. So I did that. And that was back in 2012. So, yeah, I've been living in New York and braving all levels of the comedy scene here for 10 years? Math was not my major. So
Neither was mine.
Yeah. Clearly why I went to the comedy part of it. So
was there somebody in your life? I mean, you know, I tell people I have a mutt resume. I've done a lot of different things. But when it comes to broadcasting, you know, there were certain shows I would watch, you know, whether I was a big Carson and Letterman fan growing up. On the news side, it was Peter Jennings, and I can even remember Walter Cronkite. Was there somebody in comedy that you watched or listened to and you thought, man, that's what I want to do?
I think, yeah. I mean, there was, for me, I was a big fan of just stand-up in general. I mean, back then was, you know, like really the heyday of Comedy Central, like the half hours, you know, all the, it was really accessible to just, and you know, the cable TV thing of, you weren't seeking out everything as much as you are. I mean, there's still stuff being served to you, but you know, I would throw on Comedy Central and then just by virtue of not getting up, you would probably be exposed to new comedians. Mm-hmm. But, and then, yeah, of course I had my favorites, you know, I had like the Mitch Hedberg and the classic, and then I think it kind of became, it was more one of those, oh, this is, you know, interesting, but I think a lot of people who have any interest in comedy, the classic is like, well, I don't, no, I can't do that though. It seems interesting, but not for me. No, right. No. You know, or you get the opposite, which is where, which is somewhat worse, which is the people who are like, well, of course, I'm the funniest person I've ever met. It's only natural.
Do you remember your first gig?
So I remember what had happened. I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where I went to college. I know that might be a conflict for some of your listeners.
At least it wasn't. At least it wasn't Iowa.
yeah. Okay. Get away with it. And there's a great comedy club in Ann Arbor, in Ann Arbor, walkable distance from everywhere, kind of on the campus. So, because I didn't have a car, called Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Surprisingly enough. And so it just kind of had developed where at a certain point I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try this because it does seem like something that I've been, you know, interested in for so long. And the way that they did the open mics, which is, you know, like usually the first thing you do,
sure,
is you would call in. I don't remember what day exactly. The open mic was Wednesday night. Mm. You'd call in and you'd put your name in and it was a random draw whether you would be on or not.
Sure.
And you were supposed to call back on Sunday, I think. And you call in, they go, okay, you're on this Wednesday. And you go, okay. Through kind of a natural progression of a college student's attention to detail and progress of natural life, I had called in and put my name in. And I think also I sort of assumed just by the, you know, movements, vibrations of the universe, I was like, well, I won't get on the first week. Right. And then I have more time to prep myself and all this. And so I'd forgotten to call on Sunday. Monday and Tuesday, apparently not big business days for comedy clubs, at least at the time. So they were completely closed. Yeah. You know, I figured, like, oh, I forgot to call yesterday. I'll call today. Yeah. But they're just, you know, offices. So I ended up having to call on Wednesday when they open, which is at about 5. I think the mic is probably, I would guess, 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly. And I go, hey, and then they go, yeah, you're on, like, tonight.
Oh,
and so luckily, you know, I think anybody who has any interest in doing stand-up, like you have maybe at least a couple ideas, you know, like baby ideas. You're like, this is probably what I'd talk about.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, no. And I remember I had those. And then I actually, this is an extreme, I do not condone the healthiness of this plan. And right. It is a very college student thing to do. Not something I do before I go on stage now. But I grabbed one of my roommates and I was like, we're about to drink a little bit of tequila. And because right. I have to go try stand up for the first time ever in about an hour. And then luckily for me, it went, you know, pretty good. Okay. And for a lot of people who I think who do stand up will tell you that there's a definite switch flip the first time you do it where you're like, oh, it's not even, oh, this is something I'd like to pursue. It's almost like, oh, I'm going to be upset if I can't do this regularly. Mm-hmm. Like that sort of thing. And from then on out, it was
away you went.
To the detriment of my degree in progress. I suddenly had a much stronger interest in something else.
But I mean, I think it's like a lot of things that we find, no matter what people's vocation is, I think when you find that thing that you're really passionate about, there's that little flip of adrenaline. There's that little flip of maybe healthy addiction where you're like, holy crap, I want to do that. Like that gives me a rush I've never had before, right?
Yeah, it's definitely part of it. It does that. And then it also kind of fades other stuff into the background where you were like, oh, I thought this was rewarding, but I've just found a new type of rewarding that is, turns out the rewarding I was used to is nothing. Right. This brand new. So you do get that. And I think that's sort of the thing. And that's also why it's so hard to stop. I mean, it's when people for stand-ups, if another stand-up quits, it's a real, you know, I think it's very different in a way because versus someone if you might work with being like, oh, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm getting out of accounting.
Right, right.
And you're like, oh, well, good luck on your next journey. But I think when you could, because if you're in it long enough, it doesn't even have to be that long. You'll know people who stop and quit. And yeah. It's hard because it's not just, oh, you're not doing that, where you're like, there's this kind of question of like, well, what about the gaping maw? Like, what are you going to fill? What are you going to feed that monster? I don't understand. Yeah, that makes it sound very dark, but definitely a little bit of that.
Sometimes, you know, things that are really ingenious, like in the arts in general. I think a lot of that creativity comes out of struggles and pain and things that all of us have experienced.
Yeah. So my mission when I came on here was, you said, let's lighten this thing up. And I said, let me see if I can bring it back around. Right. Let me see if
but
instead.
See, this is conversation. You know, that's
yeah.
Oh, all right, well, let's lighten things up a little bit. One of the things that that you have talked about before is crowd work. Is there an epidemic in stand-up, in crowd work? For those that might not be, have gone to a comedy club or understand it, define, if you would please, what crowd work is. And again, we're talking with Eli Uden, a comedian from crack.com, and also the podcast, What a Time to Be Alive. So crowd work, Eli, what is it?
Yeah, crowd work is, I think, the most classic idea that most people are familiar with. That's crowd work is interacting with the crowd organically, you know, to do jokes. The classic, if you've ever heard or imagined anyone saying, what do you do for work? That is, you know, interacting, asking people in the audience questions. That's the basis of crowd work. And then, you know, the both the charm and the danger of it is that beyond that, it's not always that easily definable, because now it's in their hands a little bit.
What's a good example of that, of crowd work?
I mean, well, now this is almost now, you know. But yeah, the classic one would be just asking somebody what they do for work, or, you know, and then you find out, and I'm not going to take any credit or any for, but they go, oh, I'm, you know. Yeah, I work in politics, and then the comic goes, so you're the problem, and everyone explodes, and adulation, and it's been around forever. I mean, Don Rickles is crowd work, you know, insult, classic insult comic. That one, a little antagonistic, but and also probably hasn't held up especially well, depending.
I mean, I'm a huge Don Rickles fan, but yeah, you can't, some of that stuff you just can't do anymore.
Yeah, they would prefer that you base your insults on different qualifiers at this point. But yeah, so that's a thing, and it's been around forever, so it's nothing new. You know, it's especially when you're doing longer sets, you know, if you're doing a headlining set, which is 45 minutes to an hour or something like that, there's a lot of open space to do things like that. But I think some people are kind of fascinated in it's kind of a discussion within comedy that it has become almost beyond required to become an essential thing to do all the time, which is not what it originally was. There are people who do a lot of crowd work, like, you know, like Don Rickles is a classic example. Or there are people who are crowd work comedians. Todd Barry has a great album that is all crowd work. And there are people, but it's now become like this absolute requirement. And I think there can be people who watch and who are in attendance who are sort of, it's gotten to a point where I think some people are worried that it's outpaced jokes almost.
Really?
Where, you know, yeah. I mean, that's a dramatic thing, but hey, let's lean into it.
And it's different. There's a nuance to it. It's different than, I mean, I'll maybe not, this is a bad example for a Jerry Seinfeld type of comedian, but I mean, it's different than saying, so what's the deal with airline attendants? And then you go on a whole thing and talk about airline attendants. It's different than that because it's almost more impromptu and working without a net, because you don't know what that man or woman's going to say in the audience, and then you got to riff off of that.
Yeah. And I think that's where the thing where if you know, somebody's a big fan of comedy or specific parts of it, is that crowd work, you know, by its nature is, and the danger and the entertainment in it is that, you know, for a fact, unless they have a plant, which, you know, is not nearly as common as I think people want it to be. Right. But there have been people who have, you know, famous YouTube clips where it's an open secret that, but so, you know, you have to react to that, and the entertainment and like the craft in it is how quickly you're reacting. But I think by nature of that, it's also like for me, what I loved about stand-up, we talked about why I got into it, is I love the just an observation or a thing I've never thought of before in a certain way that, you know, I'm like, oh, that tickles my brain in a way. I've never thought about that. What a crazy observation. You know, there's like a class, I think a comic, Nick Turner, has a joke where he goes, talks about the classic Superman quote. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. And his observation is, you know, until he gets to Superman, that guy sounds insane. He's like, who is this guy who thinks that he's going to yell out? Why is he screaming every time he sees a bird or a plane? And she just, I love that, you know, kind of breakdown. Like, oh, I've never thought about it that way or whatever. And so crowd work doesn't, it can be tough because when it becomes so, it doesn't tick. For me, the itch that I need scratched doesn't do that a lot of the time. And also the thing is that there are people who are good at it. There are people who are not good at it. But it's, it feels like more than ever it's required where you can't be somebody who kind of throws up their hands and goes, because a lot of it's for Instagram and for TikTok.
Well, and that's
so
the,
it's required.
See, that's the thing. To me, you know, a good comedian, it's in the moment, right? It's present. It's something that does, unless you're recording it for an album or whatever. I mean, it doesn't live into perpetuity. It's just the now. And now it seems like so many people are doing it for the gram, for the whatever, for all the social media stuff. And it's like, is that really healthy for the genre?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I struggle with as well. And part of it is just because you need to produce such an unbelievable scale of material where, you know, to do really well thought out bits, stuff like that, that takes a long time to have an hour. You know, with certain comedians, there was a thing where it's like, I do an hour a year. And that's, people were like, that's insane.
Right.
So to, when you want to be posting multiple times a week, it's hard to keep up that level of output without, you know, asking people what they do.
Absolutely. Eli, can you join us for more segment on the other side of the break? All right. We'll be right back. Eli Uden. Don't go anywhere. This is the Tyler Ball Show. And this is the Civic Media Ready to Work. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Almost got that wrong. Now noon until 2, our show. We just moved, Eli, so that's why they changed time slots on us. So we are now noon until 2. My friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct takes over after the news at the top of the hour. Takes you from 2 until 4 into the rest of the afternoon. You do not want to miss it. History in the making. Matt Flynn always takes you to the front lines of history. Matt Flynn Direct at the top of the hour after the news. Right now, our guest is Eli Uden. He is a comedian with Cracked, also with Cracked.com, and a podcaster as well. It's called What a Time to Be Alive. I want to finish up, Eli, before we talk about the podcast, talking about crowd work and comedians like that. Do you have a favorite one that you think does that well? And do you incorporate just the style of crowd work into your own work?
Yeah, I think one person that they could, that people can look up, and they, you know, he has a lot of crowd work and stuff, is Sam Talent. Talent, as spelled as you'd expect, with two L's. I mean, it's a real classic showbiz name. What a name to end up with. But he really has a good, you know, it's hard to avoid the word talent there. All as right. soon as I say that without saying, but I think the problem with a lot of it sometimes is that either, you know, you fall into stock responses or even just kind of non-responses. So, you know, people will ask and they just kind of have the same, you know, it's funny because at a certain point, like when I was saying, when I'm so, I love these like observations in a comedy, that the problem is that if you are not very good at crowd work, all of a sudden, everyone who's at the stand-up show who came to listen to, you know, exceedingly good comedy, you've now just created a conversation.
Right.
Anyone could, you know, you don't need to pay $20 and buy two drinks to listen to. You just go sit near somebody else at the bar. But he really, you know, can find, it's about being able to find like the really fascinating, like funny tidbits about somebody that aren't the natural thing, you know, that aren't just being like, well, look how tall this guy is. You know, what do you, how's the weather up there or whatever? Right. No, thankfully, I don't think you hear a lot of how's the weather up there, but Yeah, I think it's funny that you would mention it. I, you know, maybe this is a bias. You could say I don't particularly enjoy crowd work, so it does feel the joke I'll tell, like a conversation, you know, whatever, is that, you know, if I wanted to talk to somebody about how their day was going, I would have gotten an office job. That's not why I got into stand up.
That's good.
So
do you think it's Eli, do you think it's a lazier form of comedy? Because, you know, I mean, some of the people that I feel just have done it better than anybody else are people like Robin Williams and George Carlin at his height, who I could just listen to. I mean, I could still dial up Carlin on campus and I could sit there until tears come down. And I've watched that show probably 50, 75 times. And it's just, I mean, to me, that just seems like the hard type of comedy. It seems like sometimes crowd work can be easier, but not everybody can be Don Rickles either. I mean, you have to be very good to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to use the word lazy at all. And I think part of the problem is that the people who are really good at it, which did exist in the past, that's not new. There are people who are very crowd work heavy in their act. It's also, you know, if you're doing full headlining sets, you have time to do both. So I don't think it's lazy. I think it's a particular skill. And it works a different way because, you know, you think about lazy maybe because you think about Carlin, whoever, putting in all the thought, doing all the writing and stuff, where this person comes up with it on the spot. But at the same time, maybe it's just a very compressed, stressful amount of writing that you have to do in
different skill set, maybe? Is that fair or not?
Yeah. So I think that's the difference there. And it's, you know, I'm trying. It feels like the most pretentious comparison because I really don't want to get into, you know, I hate to be like stand up as art, use right, air right, quotes right, 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 for right. Everyone. But, you know, it's like the argument that you have where about abstract painters or something like that, where, you know, you get into the thing where it's like, well, they're just painting. And, you know, I have my wasted degree is an art degree. So obviously I have a lot of love for, you know, abstract artists and all those sort of stuff. So, you know, it's hard to say where it's a skill that they have. It's something they do where it's you're getting into a thing where you're quantifying effort, which is not really how art works. Right. I think that's a negative way to look at it. Not in a terrible way, but, you know, it's the end result where if it makes you laugh, doesn't really matter how long it took to write. Right. So, yeah.
Let's talk over for a second. You have a podcast. We mentioned it a couple of times. It's called What a Time to Be Alive. Wow. For better or worse, on days like today, that is well said. Tell us what the podcast is about and what you talk about, how our folks can find it.
Yeah. Well, that is precisely why we chose that title. And unfortunately, it has only become more accurate. It's funny. We started it about, I think, it's also given everything that's happened over the past few years, the passage of time is surprisingly hard to like, what is it? You know, it starts to get a little liquid. But about 5 years ago and, you know, we said, what a time to be alive. Everything was already wild then. It's only gotten wilder. It's kind of what you were saying where it's like, oh, this is, everything gets a little bit dark at times. And we almost had to kind of focus in. So what it is it's, we rank, the top five weird news stories every week. You know, a lot of your, it's kind of got a best week ever energy to it. If anybody used to watch that show on VH1, or, you know, and a lot of kind of weird news. Like I said, we used to have a wider grasp on the news and then things got incredibly, incredibly dark. So there are more and more stories where we were like, well, this isn't particularly funny to us anymore. This person's antics now have a real air of evil to them. So but now at this point, it's a lot of dumb crimes, a lot of, you know, someone in Florida doing something wild.
Always in Florida, right?
A lot of Florida has done well. Florida has provided for us.
God bless Ron DeSantis for that alone. You know, the wacky, the wild, and the kooky.
We owe them there. Yeah, we owe them that for the freedom of their citizens and what they're allowed to do and be reported on. Or escaped animals. We've somehow fallen backwards into alligators. The escaped animal beats.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if there's a raccoon that got into an ATM, we're covering it. That's our beat. We'll be on top of it.
Is there anything in particular about alligators in particular, or do you have a rule about this?
No, we avoid them. Too scary. But yeah, that is, and the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere Right. You can get them. Just search What a Time to Be Alive.
What a Time to Be Alive is the podcast, and Eli Uden is one of the hosts, comedian. We appreciate you, my friend, from Cracked.com. You can find him there as well. Eli, thanks so much for being with you, and come back and see you soon.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you for listening as well. Stay tuned now for Matt Flynn Direct. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. Hanging on your drum.